Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate that. That singing really cheers the heart. And we rejoice that the Church of Jesus Christ, they have a song to sing in the midst of trial, difficulties, no matter what, even in death, there is a song for the Christian. This is not true of practically every movement in the world. Tonight, my heart is burdened about the sadness of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham in Matthew 1, really depicts there the fact that as the lineage of David has promised that he would be the Messiah, he would be the king. And to think of our king being rejected really saddens one's heart. By way of introduction to this subject, and that we have that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Paul writing to Timothy, God was manifest in the flesh. The miracle of incarnation. Some of us will never be able to evaluate or understand fully what is involved in that. It's a miracle. And it is true to the character or characteristic of God. But, you know, the Eternal One was born into a world of time. Now, that staggers me because he's eternal. Without beginning, without end. And whether one believes it or not, my friend, it makes no difference. It's the truth that we have in the Word of God. And we know it to be so. And yet, he came into a world of time. Can you imagine that? Living in a sphere of calendars and time. He is the omnipresent one. He's everywhere. And yet, he submitted himself to live in a small area. Physically speaking, he could have traveled or been in many places. Don't misunderstand me. And yet he chose to live in a little place like Bethlehem, Nazareth, Capernaum, Jerusalem. And even as a babe, carried out of the boundaries of Palestine into Egypt. The only time that he left that area. And yet he is God Almighty. God manifest in the flesh. The omnipresent one, the one who is everywhere. The devil doesn't have that ability. In the book of Job, when he was questioned, when Satan was questioned, and he was going to and fro in all the earth. And one preacher said, and some of us give him a ride to church now and then. That may be true. But nevertheless, that's what distinguishes him with anyone else. The angels were created by him. And for his glory, he's also the wonderful, great God who fills heaven and earth. And when I think of this, the word says that he does fill heaven and earth. The psalmist cried out, where can we go? You could find the Lord in heaven, on earth. There was no place to hide from him. And now just keep in mind, in all of his greatness, yet again, he compressed himself to live in a human body. This is humiliating in a sense, but it was the only way that he could convey to mankind the plan of God, the thoughts of God, and the truth of redemption. No other way. And so a body was prepared, given him, and that body lived on this earth for approximately 33 years. And yet he is the omnipotent one, the God of creation. And just think of it. He created the world and the universes, the galaxies and the planetary heavens. He created by the spoken word. And yet he willed. It was it by choice, no doubt in perfect agreement with the Godhead, to come down to this little speck of dust called earth. Now we know, science tells us, that, of course, they're lost in wonder and amazement. What's out there? Not just a universe, not just a galaxy, but myriads of galaxies. And they will never be able to plumb all the that's in the heavens, so-called. Never. It's impossible. And it staggers our imagination that how many millions and millions of years it would take you, light years, just to get to one. And yet he left the heights of glory, and he came down to this earth, this speck of dust, as it were, bypassing all of the planets just to be born in a cattle shed. This is not natural, not normal. Doctors today would be horrified. Medical science would be saying that's stupid to be born of all places in an animal shed with the bacteria and all the germs and whatnot. There was no need of masks that day when Jesus was born. They didn't have to wear any. That his system had an immunity that would ward off all diseases because he was God manifest in the flesh. And I'm so glad that it was in the stable. I do not think for a moment that because there was no room in the inn that we could apply that and say that he was rejected. Perhaps there is an application there. Perhaps it was the innkeeper who saw the condition of Mary, or someone nearby that overheard. What one thing is sure, some place was provided for the birth of the Lord Jesus, and a manger to become his crib. Can you imagine that? The God of heaven and earth now placed in a manger. And so it was ordained of the Godhead that this should be. In his omnipotence, he became dependent as a baby child, yet he's all powerful. It was he who, when Mary was carrying him, but he was also holding Mary up. Now that might baffle a lot of people, but that is true. Because you see, he is God. He never ceased to be God when he became man. He was always God. But being man, he became something that he never was. And thank God in heaven today, he is still the God-man that he will never lose. When we get home to glory, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. And you're going to have a glorified body, likened unto his glorious body. What a day that's going to be. The church groans in many parts of the world for that wonderful occasion. We believe it's not too distant. That's why we plead with you to just to be aware of the dangers of rejection or rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't afford that. I think of the verse I read that presented as a king there in Matthew 1:1. The prophet Isaiah said something that's very remarkable in reference to the Lord Jesus. It says, "Who shall declare his generation? Or where will be his posterity?" The thing is this, it was not a light thing for a person to die childless. Well, he never married. He didn't have to. That wasn't the design of the Godhead. And yet who has more children today than the Lord Jesus Christ? What family is larger than the family of God worldwide? Down through the age of 2,000 years, many that have been born into the family of God. Oh, my friend, the prophet said that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I might add, really, it was our sorrow that he carried and our grief that he carried. The sorrow he bore, the grief he bore, they were ours. And yet he was willing to do this. And then comes that little phrase, and he was rejected of men. I've been rejected, but nothing comparable to this rejection. Some of you know what it is to be rejected. Perhaps out in radio land, maybe you know what it is to be rejected. I don't know how a mother can reject a baby and leave it in a garbage can. I don't know how people can reject loved ones. I don't know how a mother could tell her son over the phone that because of his condition that she would not be able to bear the sight of him because both legs were gone and both arms were shot off and his face was partially destroyed being in war when he incurred these types of wounds and so forth. She couldn't handle that, she said. She couldn't handle it. I don't understand a lot of things about rejection from the human point of view. Maybe I should rephrase that and say, yes, in some cases I perhaps could understand that. But to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, I find it difficult to take this in. He never said an unkind word, but he preached the truth of God to Capernaum. Woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Capernaum, for if the miracles were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, which were done in you, they would have repented a long time ago, but you have not repented. And so there were scathing denunciations, yes, simply because they would not have him in their town. They rejected him. He was the messenger of grace, the messenger of life, the messenger of peace. He was everything that the world would look forward to. They are the things you look for in politicians, in leaders of state, presidents, emperors, you name it. That's what the world is looking to. They want a Superman to usher us into a utopia that's literally impossible. But Jesus Christ, he had the answer. He has the answer today. Take the Christians out of the world. You think you have a chaotic condition? You think you have enough turbulence morally? You think you have enough mugging, terrorists, suicide bombings, you name it? You haven't seen anything until the Church of Jesus Christ is removed from this world. They are the salt of the earth, the preserving power that God has invested in them because one day they believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the many, if not all here, perhaps in the meeting tonight. You know what it is to have Christ as your Savior. And there's a possibility I may be speaking to someone, and for years you have rejected him. He still loves you. You turn your back on him, but his grace shines on your back. You can't get away from him. His love shines on your back. He's not going to browbeat you. He's not going to hit you over the head with a 2x4. He's not going to bring some disease in your life just to cause you to see it, although many, as a result of physical crisis, have turned to God, even though they've rejected him all their life. My friend, listen, there's no rejection like that of Christ as even depicted in the Word of God. The presentation of the King, the proclamation of the King, as we have in these verses of Matthew 1 to 3. Oh, the power of the King. The leper knew what it was to be healed. And he touched them without fear of ever contracting the disease. The blind man could see the world in all of its splendor and beauty and glory. He never saw daylight, born that way. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he leaped and jumped with joy. And why not? A marvelous miracle took place. He fed multitudes with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And I say multitudes, perhaps 10,000 or more. And that bread, the baskets kept filling up one after the other by the hundreds. And there they were feeding them as they were serving them. They were being multiplied. A great miracle wrought by him. He fed the multitude. He had the answer to famine. And yet he was rejected. He had the answer to the sightless man. And Jesus had the answer. How many people tonight are suffering from spiritual blindness? There are those who deliberately reject him because the devil is the god of this world who has blinded the minds of many so that they should not believe the gospel and be saved. You need your eyes open tonight. Let the Spirit of God just pour eye salve on your eyes and take away that blindness. That deliberate intent of rejecting him. I have no doubt in my mind that when you came to this service this evening, you didn't come with a mind of deliberately turning your back on God. Perhaps you're here out of formality. Perhaps you're here because you like good singing. And you may not like all the preaching, but some of the preaching you may even like. But let me tell you, every time you walk out of these doors after hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and you reject him, you go out, you're rejecting him every time. And we're calling upon you tonight to let this Christmas be one of the most beautiful Christmas in your life, where when Christ will come in your heart. I said in the broadcast this morning, it was taped about a year or so ago, and I don't usually enjoy my own sermons when I listen to them on the radio. And I'm being very truthful there. But you know, I got a blessing this morning from my own sermon. don't often do. And I had to listen. I said, I didn't realize that was there. I didn't realize that. I didn't even know that my son was singing a solo. I didn't play it, you see. But I enjoy the word that was spoken. Encouragement from God's word. Oh, the rejected one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:6, he said, look, John came, and he wasn't eating and drinking. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking. You call him a glutton. And then, of course, the latter portion says where they rejected him. Turned him. He couldn't even do any miracle in Nazareth, the place where he was brought up, because he was rejected by them. And it's sad to say that physically speaking, humanly speaking, even his half-brothers and sisters rejected him. They couldn't understand it. And then the people of the town says, how come that he knows all of these things? How come that he can do these works? The works where they were a witness to the people of Nazareth, but they refused to even accept the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they turned their backs on him. And it's sad. It says he could do no miracles in that place. And he left the place. The prophet had no honor, even in his own hometown. And he left Nazareth. And he went about preaching the word of God. In John 1:11-12, not only rejected by his family, not Mary, but by his family. He's rejected by Israel as a nation, says he came unto his own. And his own there is Israel. If you read the New Testament, you cannot help but see that the design of God was Christ to come for the Jew, for Israel as a nation. The Gentiles came in for the blessing because of their rejection of Christ. And so then, he said he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the child or children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Aren't you glad that whether Gentile or Jew or otherwise, that when you call upon the name of the Lord, he said, I will not turn you aside. I will not turn a deaf ear to your cry. And you will become a child of his simply because you did not reject him, but rather you received him. Salvation in its simplicity is profound. We mustn't confuse simplicity with profoundness. I still don't understand the depth of John 3:16. Do you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his Son there on Calvary because God, whenever he did anything, it was always in a great way. And the gift of his Son, the one that was to be rejected by man, rejected by Israel as a nation, was really sad. And yet God commended his love toward us, and that why we were sinners, not good people, why we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And then we have in Matthew 12, the rejection by the Pharisees. So the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might destroy him. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Verse 15, but God said, this is my beloved Son, and he will not quarrel. I love that. He will not cry.